Well, today is Vision Sunday, y'all. Come on, Vision Sunday. I'm excited to share with you the vision that God has given me and our staff and our team about what we're doing moving forward at Radical Church. Now, if you are brand new today, I think it's still going to be real exciting for you. But man, if you have been here from the beginning, it's going to be a little extra exciting for you, okay? So when I say that today will change everything for our church, I really do mean that today will change everything. I know I've been telling you guys, come to church this week. Make sure that you're here next week. Make sure you're here next week. I've been saying that over and over and over again, but today is actually the day that I finally get to share with you everything that we have been praying about for such a long time. And so first off, man, I want to say thank you to all of you that are here today. Whether it's your first time, whether you've been here since the beginning, without you, there is no Radical Church, right? How many of y'all know that the church is not a building? It is a people. Come on now, somebody. It's a people that love God and love others and love one another. And so I believe that we have, I just honestly believe we have the best people in all of Hays County right here in this building right now, watching online. Come on, we got the best people. Yeah, I think y'all are pretty cool. Y'all give yourselves a hand clap. Come on. Without you, we wouldn't have our church. Those of you that serve and give and attend here on Sunday mornings, come to Rad Girl, Rad Men, Young Adults, all that stuff. Listen, we wouldn't have this place without you. And so I want to start off by reading a passage in the book of Joshua. It really means a whole lot to me. And I intentionally skipped this passage when we went through our series called Strong and Courageous, which was walking through the book of Joshua. I skipped this on purpose so that I could read this to you today. And it says this in Joshua 4:1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. Tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing. Carry them over with you. Put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. Here it is, right here. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. To be a memorial. For us to remember, and listen, I believe this altar that they built has two very specific purposes. And this altar, I think there's so many people, it's incredible. There's actually a few ladies in our church that have actually gone out into their backyards and built little tiny altars where they go out and they pray, and they pray to God, which I think is a really, really cool thing. They've been taking this into consideration that, man, sometimes there's just a place and a time and a moment where God speaks to you, and you just want to remember that. And this altar has two very specific purposes. And the first one is that it's an altar of remembrance, remembering what God has done and thanking him for it. So the first one, if you're taking notes today, is the altar is a place of remembering the past. Remembering the miracles. Come on, how many of you, God has done something in your life? He has been faithful in your life. Listen, I'm telling you, he's been faithful in my life. He has brought me from death to life. I remember what life was like before Jesus. And some of y'all remember what your life was like before Jesus. And you have to remember what he's done. Don't forget. And Joshua and God here saying, guys, don't forget what God has done. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that you were in slavery. Don't forget when he parted the Red Sea. Don't forget when he parted the River Jordan and you were able to walk through into the promises of God. So you got to celebrate what God has done. So you know what I want to do for a second as we build this altar together is, man, I want to celebrate what God has done over the last year right here at Radical Church. Come on, you guys ready to celebrate a little bit with me about the faithfulness of God over this last year? Ooh, man, put it up on the screen. Radical Church by the numbers. We celebrated our fourth birthday in September. Come on, that's amazing. Attendance has doubled from 300 to 600 in 1 year, guys. That's wild. We went from 2 services to 4 services. Our kids ministry doubled, 60 to 120. Rad Youth, 40 to 80. In fact, it's more like 85 to 90 over the last couple of weeks. We had 70 students that attended youth camp, which made ours one of the largest groups at the youth camp. It was crazy. They asked, some people were asking our youth pastors, how long have you guys been to church? Y'all got a huge group. And they would say, about 4 years now. And they're like, that's impossible. No way. We've never seen anything like this. It's amazing what God has done in Rad Youth. We launched our women's ministry in February, men's in June, young adults in September. We have over 200 people serving on the Rad team now. Guys, Rad team, that's incredible. We had the Raddies. We had the Raddies on Friday night. We were able to give out a bunch of awards, played Family Feud with everybody. Oh, it was so much fun. We absolutely love our Rad team here. These are my favorite stats, though. There was one Sunday we had 50 people that gave their lives to Jesus in just one Sunday. That's amazing. And over 300 people so far this year have said yes to Jesus. Now listen, we got to remember these things. I don't want to put this on the screen and just be like, oh wow, look at these numbers, like they're cool. Guys, these are miracles. Every single one of these numbers represents an individual, represents a person, not just a butt in a seat, all right? That's not what we're about here, Radical Church. We're not just about people sitting in the seats. We're about people's lives being changed by the gospel of Jesus. Every number is a person. Every person has a name, and every person matters to God. Amen? And so we got to make sure that we understand when we look at these things that we're talking about people that God loves and cares about. And so, man, I want to share a story with you about a person, a one person, right? We talk about who's your one, who's the one person that you can reach out to today. I mean, there was one individual in our church that literally went from death to life, and I can't wait to share his story with you. Go ahead and take a look at the screens.
Hi, my name is Rocky Garza. I've been going to Rad for about 3 years now. Even before I started going to Rad, I had struggled with mental health just up until sophomore year of high school, and I ended up attempting suicide, and I pretty much succeeded. I was clinically dead for approximately 20 minutes. I had no brain activity. Doctors said I would be a vegetable for the rest of my life. God had other plans. I had to relearn how to walk, how to eat, how to do everything. Throughout that entire process, I had just impossible and disputable evidence that there is a God that loves me and has his hand over me. I was able to just be saved completely in every meaning of the word. I started being able to share my testimony and what had happened to me through the youth and kids that might be going through the same thing as I did. And I was able to go to a youth camp with them where I was called to ministry, where I now feel like I have almost an obligation to share this word and tell others of what happened to me and through me. I really hope that I'm able to just live my life to the fullest. I don't want this second chance wasted. I have been given an opportunity not everyone gets. There was actually about 3 or 4 other teenagers in the Hayes District that attempted suicide in the same week I did. I was the only one that survived. Through Radical Church, I've just been able to find a community that, even though I've felt alone for most of my life and have felt like I have to walk by myself, even though I might feel like that, I have obviously God by my side, but now I have friends and peers throughout a church that just accepts me for who I am. And I am so thankful for this opportunity that I've gotten, just the second chance that I've gotten. I mean, I'm just so excited to be able to not only grow physically in a new home with more people in this church, but just grow spiritually with these people, the community and family that I've built here at Rad, the production team, the creative team, just the Rad team in general is one of the closest-knit communities I've ever been a part of. Just am so excited that I'm able to be a part of a community that is so close-knit and willing to go into the dirt with those that might be in the trenches. there's never been a moment where I felt like I couldn't share something with a leader or just a friend that I've found here. I'm so thankful for this this opportunity to be able to share my testimony.
Come on, let's give it up for Rocky, who served so faithfully in our production team on Sundays and in youth, and now he's able to share his testimony with other students and share his testimony with his peers at school and help other people that are struggling with mental health. Man, God has called him into ministry as well, and man, we can't wait to develop him and see what God does in his life. Let me tell you, here's the deal. How many more stories like Rocky's are out there? How many more people like Rocky are out there that we have yet to reach? How many more people could we reach together? Listen, people who have lost hope, people who are in need of a savior. Rocky literally went from death to life. And listen, my goal, and I believe that our goal as Christ followers, should be to help people go from spiritually dead in their sin to spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. That's our mission. That's our goal. Not hundreds of people. I want to see thousands of people saved here in Hays County because of this church and because of a people that says, you know what? I'm going to take responsibility for the one, just like Rocky. I'm going to take responsibility. I have a vision to see many, many people's lives saved right here through us and through you and your family. So listen, the first thing is that we got to remember. The altar is a place of remembrance. These stones would serve as a memorial for people to remember what God has done. So we look to the past and we say, thank you, God, for what you've done. But the second thing is that the altar is a place of hope for the future. It's also a place of hope. Because if God did it then he can surely do it now. And if he could do it now, then he could surely do it tomorrow. Come on, somebody. I believe in a miracle-working God, a way-making God, a God that is still healing, a God that is still speaking. And listen, this altar is a place of hope for the future. And I'm telling you, as we look back, God has done so many miracles. We launched this church 4 years ago in the middle of COVID in 2020, and so many people thought we were nuts. And yet, here we are today. Four services in 4 years, and God's been good, and so many people's lives been changed. And it's not to brag on anything of what we've done, but it's simply to boast in the Lord Jesus and what he has done. Amen? I'm telling you, God's been good. And so it's a place of hope for the future, because if he did it in Rocky's life, he can do it in somebody else's. If he did it in your life, he could do it in somebody else's. And so I'm believing that we are going to have so much hope for the future, that there's so much more for our church, and there's more people to reach. There's more families that have yet to find Jesus, and it's our responsibility, and it's our mantle. It's a leadership mantle that we carry here in Hays County, that you know what? If no one else is going to be reaching people, and there's some great churches around, but if at the end of the day, if nobody else was doing it, let us be the ones to do it. We will do it. Just like Isaiah said, here am I, God, send me. And so, without further ado, man, I would love to share with you our hope for the future, what we believe that God has for Radical Church. Once more, turn your attention to the screens.
In 2018, 2 years before we launched Radical Church, my mom drove past a property that went up for sale. She sent me this picture and said, "Trevor, this is where your church is going to be one day." I said, "Mom, you're nuts. We don't even have a launch date for our church yet. We don't have any money, and we certainly don't have any people. We can't buy property right off the bat." So we launched in 2020 at Negley Elementary, right in the middle of COVID. It was a crazy time, but God was faithful, and our church began to grow. About a year later, my mom brought up the same property again. She said, "Trevor, it's still for sale. Can we buy the property now?" I said, "Mom, no, we're not able to do that yet. We have some people now, but the time is not now." But that got me thinking. And more importantly, it got me dreaming about not what we could do, but what God could do. I drove out to the property. And as I began to pray, I noticed a large pile of rocks with a dove perched right on top of them. The Lord spoke to me right there in that moment, and he said, "This is an altar. Watch what I will do." So I got out of my car and started walking around the property, praising God.
thanking him for his provision, thanking him for money that we didn't have and land that we didn't even own. I marched around this property 6 times, and on the 7th time, I yelled Jesus at the top of my lungs, got back in my car, and went home. Nothing happened, nothing changed, but I knew that God had spoken to me in that moment, and I couldn't help but talk about it.
I pulled up to the gate and I looked in front of me, and the first thing I saw was this large pile of rocks. And the Lord immediately spoke to me and said, "This is an altar. Watch what I'll do." We've been faithful with what we've been given, but we definitely don't have enough, and it would require a miracle. But how many of you know that many, many times God requires big, big faith, right? You can have small faith and you will get what? Small results. But if you have a radical faith, you will get God results. Amen?
In the Bible, God's people would build altars to commemorate a divine encounter or a powerful experience with God, sometimes at a specific place. In Joshua 4, after God parts the Jordan River, he commands Joshua and all the Israelites to take 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan River and to place them on the other side as an altar of remembrance. Joshua then gives instructions to the people. He says, "Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." These stones would serve as a reminder of God's faithfulness, not only for the current generation, but for the next generation and forever. So for the last 3 years, I've been coming back to this altar to pray, not only that God would give us this property, but that God would give us the city. Kyle, Texas is one of the fastest growing cities in the nation, and yet there are hardly any churches and hardly any churches that own land in the city. Not only that, but over 50% of the city of Kyle does not have a relationship with Jesus. Now, some people would see that as an obstacle. I see it as an opportunity to take ground for the kingdom of God. And how do we do that? We do that by sharing the radical love of Jesus one person at a time and one family at a time. For 6 years now, we have been praying and marching around this property. And I believe that on the 7th year, the gates will fall. Today, I believe God is calling Radical Church to build an altar, to worship God for what he's already done in our church, to give our first and best offerings, to establish a place for our kids and our grandkids to call home and be reminded of the faithfulness of God forever. Over the next year, we are seeking to lay down $1 million on the altar. This will allow us to purchase a property and construct a church home, to serve our current families better, to reach more families in our city, to expand our ministry impact, and to secure a home for the next generation of believers in our church. So will you join us? Will you pray and ask God, "How can I be a part of building the altar?" Listen, I believe that God's gonna call each and every one of us to lay a stone, to lay an offering onto the altar. And one day when our kids and our grandkids ask, "Was this church always here?" we'll be able to tell them the story of God's faithfulness.
Come on, let's give God praise. I'm excited to announce altar to you. If you'll look at even this logo here, that is the exact image of the rocks at that property that was actually transposed into the logo. And just incredible what God spoke to me at that moment. And listen, I'm telling you, I believe that God can do it. Come on now. I believe that God can make it happen. This isn't just something where that's been in my heart and I'm nervous about it. Oh, maybe it might happen. No, no, no. Listen, I serve a big God, right? The same thing that I believed 3 years ago, that we need to have a big and a radical faith, I still believe today. Come on, somebody. And I just want to see a church that will rally behind this thing together and say, you know what? We're going to make this happen. Why? Not because of us, not because of what we could do, but let's see what God can do. Come on, somebody. And so, man, in 2021, I got out to the property for the very first time, right after kind of that, when I preached that message. And I got onto the property for the first time, was able to lay hands on this altar where I had been praying, where my mom had been praying. I want to show you the photo of that here today. And that was the first time I was able to get onto the property. It was just a powerful moment for me and for my jorts. So there we go. But I wish I would have known this day would come. I would have wore something a little, anyway. So, but then 3 years later now, in February of this year, I felt God tell me to call the owner of this property, to try to find out who the owner is. And so looked up on the Hays CAD and tried to figure out who the owner of this property was, and figured out that he worked at this construction company over here. He owned this construction company and went there and just found a couple guys that, hey, do y'all got this guy's number? And they were like, yeah, here you go. And I was like, well, that's awesome. Perfect. Called the guy up. I said, hey, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but I'm a pastor and I've been praying out at this property that I believe you own for like the last, you know, 3 years now. And he said, you're the guy that's always out there praying all the time. And I said, yes, sir, that's me. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry if I'm causing any trouble or anything, but I just wanted to see if I could, you know, talk to you about maybe this property. And he said, man, he said, you would not believe this. He said, but this property, man, I've been trying to sell it for so many years now. And every single time it goes under contract, it's been under contract 4 times now. And you always end up going out there to pray right when we put it under contract. And then it always falls through. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to do anything. I just believe maybe that God would want this place to be true. He said, hey, let's go get some tacos. So we go and we're eating tacos. He's telling me about his life. Find out that he's a believer in Jesus. Gave his life to the Lord just a few years before that. It's about 65 maybe years old. And just given his life to Jesus pretty recently. And just an incredible man of God. And he said, you know, the land's listed at a certain price, but man, I really want to work with you guys, and we could bring it a lot lower than the price that we have it listed at. And here's the reason. He said, because I also want this to be a house of God. I want my property to be used for the kingdom of God. He said, here's what I want you to do, Trevor. He said, I want you to go back to your people, and you need to go cast a big vision. You need to go tell them about what God wants to do at this property here. Don't cast a small vision. Cast a big one and be bold and ask your people to give. Man, I believe God will do it, and let's put a church here on this property. And I said, sir, you are preaching to the preacher right now. Come on now. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. It was incredible. But listen, here's the deal. He had it right, because Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What's the opposite of that? Where there is vision, the people will flourish. And I believe the church will flourish as well. So I believe just like Joshua and the Israelites, man, God is calling us to take ground for the kingdom of God right here in Kyle, Texas. Is it going to be a big step of faith? Yeah, you better believe it. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to take every single one here? Yes. But God is calling us to go across the Jordan River, to put our feet, as we talked about, to put our feet at the water's edge and then watch God part the river and go take ground in the promised land that he has given us. So listen, here's the plan. I want to get practical for a second. We're going to move at the speed of generosity. And you're going to hear me say this phrase many times over the next few months, but we will move at the speed of generosity. If we lay down $400,000 at this altar before the end of the year, we'll be able to move a little bit quicker. If it's $200,000, we might have to wait a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? We'll move at the speed of generosity. The plan is to make an offer on this property as soon as we're able to. And our board and myself are working with commercial realtor. It's got a huge heart for the local church. We have financial advisors. We got architects. We got construction experts here in the church. And there's many other people that are helping to make these decisions. It's not just Pastor Trevor just going out to a big pile of rocks and being like, let's do it. You know, we got a lot of people that are working on this thing together. And so I want to kind of cast a vision. What could we do? What would this look like if we were able to do this? Well, what could we accomplish? Well, the first thing, of course, would be a larger auditorium and lobby space. How many of y'all know we are simply out of space at the facility? There's barely any seats. There's people with kids in the back. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for being here today. And there's hardly any seats left for people to join our church. And so we have four services now. How many of y'all would love to go back to two services for a little bit? Come on now. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Have a bigger lobby where we could actually have a seat. You know what I mean? And actually have somewhere to sit down. Maybe a little coffee shop action. You know what I mean? Have a little coffee, sit down and hang out with people and not feel like we just have to come in and go out real fast. And we need more parking spaces. How many of y'all have parked all the way down by the jiu-jitsu place before? Come on, anybody. How many of you have been yelled at by one of the tenants to move your car? Okay, that's literally happened at a worship night. I kid you not. If you haven't heard this story, we had a worship night and somebody parked their car in a spot they were not supposed to, okay? And so in the middle of this like beautiful moment of worship and prayer, I had to come up and I was like, hey, I hate to do this. This license plate up on the screen. Who are you? You got to move your car, you know? And somebody had to go out there and do the walk of shame and go move their car. And but I don't want to have to do that anymore. That's no fun for anybody. We need our own space. We need more parking. How many of y'all know that we need more space for our children to find and follow Jesus? More classrooms for them. We want to make sure we have space for our kids. There's a family that I always tell this story because it just really breaks my heart. But Diana, our kids pastor, had to actually turn a first-time family away from kids ministry. She said, hey, we're at capacity. I'm so sorry. We don't have room for your kid in the classroom. And they said, well, I guess we're just gonna have to leave. And that really hurts my heart as a pastor. I hate doing that. Why is that? Because it's a first-time family especially, but that might also have been the first time where they were able to hear a message about Jesus. You know what? I don't know because I never got the chance to meet him. And so that hurts my heart. I don't want to be having to do that anymore. We also need a space for our rad team. Come on, rad team, let me hear it. Y'all need a space. Ladies, y'all just need a place to put your bag when you come to serve. You know what I'm talking about. I know you got a purse. You got a jacket. You need a place to put it. We want to be able to honor you well as you serve throughout the day. We want to host special events, all kinds of different. We've done Tim Tebow's Night to Shine, which is a prom experience for adults with disabilities. We're our friends, they are incredible, and we love serving them, and we're going to host it again next year. But we want to have a much bigger place where we can have more of our friends come and join us. Back to School Bash, we just did that, gave away 500 backpacks with school supplies in it, gave over 200 haircuts to children and families that are in need in our community. Incredible. We want to be able to host that and do even more of that kind of stuff. We've had a fall festival and an egg hunt and VBS. We hosted our first VBS. We did the Raddies. And here's the deal. All of these events are amazing. And we want to be able to do more, but it's difficult at this current location. It's hard. We had the Raddies on Friday night. We have 200 people on our rad team. We don't even have enough room for tables and chairs to feed our rad team all in this space. We don't even have space for them anymore, which is incredible. It's a great problem to have, but man, we got to find something bigger. I was talking to Pastor Rachel about our youth group. I said, hey, listen, we got to get a bigger vision for our youth group because there's 85, 90 students on a Wednesday night. That's filling out this space pretty quick. We got to take some chairs out because they need to be able to run around and be youths. You know what I'm saying? So they're filling out the space already. I said, listen, this building's not just for the adults. It's for the youth. Because I believe we put a 300-seat auditorium, man, you're going to fill that thing with students one day. You got to get a bigger vision for our youth group together. And man, she's on the same page as me. I'm excited. We want to do a men's conference. We want to do a women's conference. We want to do event rentals and all kinds of great things to be a blessing to our community in that way. But the last thing you'll see here, and some parents might say amen, but we want to do a Christian daycare and preschool on our property. Come on now. Listen, I grew up going to private school, Christian school, K-4 all the way to college. I went to private Christian school. That's why I'm a little weird, okay? And explains a lot. But I think it's very, very important for our kids to have a solid Christian foundation as they are young. And it really shaped me and formed me into the man of God that I feel like I am today. My parents sacrificed a whole lot to put me through these schools. Sometimes it can be expensive. It can be difficult. Listen, here's the deal. I see a need in our community. It's really a national childcare crisis that we have. But especially in this area, as it's growing so rapidly, there are not nearly enough childcare facilities, and there are zero Christian childcare facilities or Christian schools in this city. You have to go all the way to Austin or San Marcos to find one. And I just don't think that's okay. We have 70,000 people here, and you mean to tell me that we can't have a Christian school here? And so we want to be one of the first to be able to do that. Here's the deal. The childcare crisis is difficult because there are wait lists all over the place. Parents, you might even be on a wait list right now. And even the places that you're on a wait list for sometimes aren't even that great, but it's your only option, and you're still on a wait list at the place you don't even want to send your kid anyway. And so listen, we want to be a part of the solution, once again, to fulfill our core value of being community focused. And so I want to be clear here. There is an organization called Lionheart Christian Academy that we're working with right now to see if we could partner with them for them to plant a campus, to plant a school at our new church facility. And so here's the deal. We do not have a contract with these people. I want to be very clear. We are working with them to see if it'll work. If it doesn't work with Lionheart, we will find another organization or we'll do it ourselves. But we will have a school one day. And so listen, here's the deal. Their founder, he's incredible. And his heart is so similar to mine about the idea of Christian school and why it's necessary and solving the childcare crisis issue that we have. But I thought way better for him to tell you about it than for me to tell you about it. They got a great video. So I want to share this with you and cast a little bit of vision for what this school could potentially look like. Once again, turn your attention to the screen and check this out from Lionheart.
Well, the vision of Lionheart actually was born in a hospital bed at MD Anderson Cancer Center in 2011, of all places. I had started another ministry about 20 years ago called Apartment Life, and it had quickly become all-consuming, and I was giving my entire life to that for a number of years. But I had been battling cancer off and on since I was in seminary, and it became pretty serious in 2011. And the last bullet in my gun was to have a stem cell transplant. So I had to basically go offline for about a year, move to Houston. And during that season, I read a book by George Barna called Raising Children to Be Spiritual Champions. And it was a life changer. Because in there, Barna makes the case that we have until a person's 13th birthday to reach them with the gospel. Or statistically speaking, he says we never will. And he lays out a very compelling case for that. I've subsequently called that the gospel shot clock from birth to the 13th birthday, because he says the vast majority of people will come to know Jesus during those years. So my prayer became, Lord, what's the next big idea to greatly deepen the penetration of the gospel in those years from birth to 12? How do we reach a lot more children? Come to find out that the only other natural spike in spiritual receptivity other than the gospel shot clock is when people start having children. When they're young parents, they become spiritually sensitive and try to figure out, do I want to pass on my worldview to my child? And so they start reevaluating spiritual things. So these early years are very important for reaching children and for reaching young families. So, Lord, how do we reach a lot more children? Well, it turns out that the key to that is some significant shifts in women's participation in the labor force over the last 60 years. Now, the vast majority of women are working full-time outside the home. And so the experience of children is, from a very early age, they're in childcare because mom is working, or mom and dad are both working, from 6 weeks old all the way through preschool. Then if they enter the public school system, they're typically in an after-school program until mom and dad get off work. And then they're in some type of childcare or camp experiences all summer long. So those three industries, if you will, the preschool industry, the after-school industry, and the summer industry, in my view, are highly strategic for the future of the gospel, because they're windows into the lives of these children and in their families during these very critical years. But as you look at it, what has happened is that the secular companies now dominate all those industries. 75% market share is large corporations that are totally secular that control preschool, after school, and summer programs. In fact, most moms in the churches that we've researched that are looking for an option that is evangelical, there's either little to no options in many, many areas. And the reason is most churches are offering either nothing during the week or part-time programs that are serving stay-at-home moms, two-day-a-week, three-day-a-week, Mother's Day Out type programs. And if a mom's looking for full-time care, she has to look elsewhere. And the reason is because operating full-time childcare academies is operationally very challenging. It's regulated, it has government regulation, and frankly, it's just not the core business that churches are in. And so the big idea of Lionheart is how can we empower churches to offer these types of programs to attract secular families that are needing high-quality, affordable childcare, and use that as a platform to get into their lives, love them, serve them, share the gospel with them, and get them connected to the church. And so churches have beautiful facilities that many of are underutilized during the week. They have lots of people that love kids and can staff these programs, but they need an operating partner. And so Lionheart has invested a lot of time and energy and money in building a brand and operating systems and all the playbook, if you will, to empower churches to launch and operate full-time children's academies that are targeting secular families that are using secular childcare to get them out of that environment, get them on the campus of the church all during the week, and again, use that as a vehicle to build a deep relationship with them, love them, share the gospel with them, and then it's a very natural connection to the church. So at Lionheart, we really want to bless our church partners in three very specific ways. First and foremost is spiritually. We want to help them attract more unreached families and get them bridged into the church using high-quality, affordable childcare as the vehicle to do so. Second is financially. These academies basically fund their own way and actually generate excess income that we can then bless the church with so that they can fund additional ministry. And then finally is operationally, because Lionheart does all the heavy lifting. The church doesn't have to figure out how to operate these things with excellence. And so Lionheart does all the hiring, all of the operational procedures to run these things in an excellent manner. So we're constantly looking for churches where that we would be aligned with their vision, and they can see how Lionheart could help them fulfill their vision and mission for the church.
Come on, isn't that amazing from Lionheart? So cool what they're doing. Listen, we want to be a blessing to our community. We want to serve families, not just families that are in our church, but also families that are outside of our church, and want to be able to provide an avenue for them, even a bridge, if you will. There's families that will step on that school campus, but they will actually have to be stepping into a church maybe for the very first time. And when they come and drop off their kids, there's going to be people there that are going to love them, to take care of them, to appreciate them, give them some coffee and donuts and welcome them as they drop their kids off on a Monday morning. And let me tell you, I think that, man, God could do so much with just getting somebody to the house of God, right? And so we want to provide that opportunity. Listen, I'm saying, if we do this together, if we build this altar, we'll be able to reach more people, but we'll also be able to serve our current families better. We'll be able to serve you and your kids, the people that are already here. Be able to serve you better. We're just out of space at this current location. And here's my ultimate heart, is that I want our church, I want you to know that if you invite a friend or a family member to this church, that we will have a parking spot for them, that we will have a spot for their kids, and that we'll have a seat available for them to experience Jesus for the first time. That's my ultimate heart. And so I want to look at some Hayes County stats. Like, why would we do this right now? And the city of Kyle has grown about 9 to 10% year over year over the last few years. And it's one of the fastest growing places in the nation, really is. In the year 2000, when my family first moved here, okay, there were 5,000 people that lived here. I always say there was a Dairy Queen in a downtown. That's all we had, baby. Come on now. But now there's close to 70,000 plus people that live in this place. There's only 12 to 15 churches about here in this city for 70,000 people. That's not nearly enough. Only 7 to 8 own land here in the city. I said in the video, only 50% of people have a relationship with Jesus. And Hayes County is the lowest number of churches per capita. We're 249th out of 252 counties in the state of Texas on how many churches we have for the amount of people that are here. Listen, my point is, this is not the Bible Belt, but this is a mission field that is ripe for the harvest. Come on, somebody say amen. Just like Joshua, I want to take ground for the kingdom of God in this city. And man, I want to set up Radical Church as a beacon of hope for people in this city, that they will know, even if you don't even believe in God, man, you know that there's a group of people that are for this city, that are praying for this city, and that are praying for them. Even if they don't believe in God, they know that we're going to be reaching out to our friends with disabilities that, man, need a place to feel loved. They're going to know that we're going to be reaching out to families and to mothers that need a place for childcare, single moms that have to drop off their kids. They maybe even love to stay at home with their kids, but they can't. They got to be working. Man, they could drop their kids off at a school where they know they're going to be cared for and loved while mom goes to work. Listen, I'm telling you, we have an opportunity here to be this beacon of hope, a city on a hill for people in this city. And land and construction prices, if you're in the industry, you know they're only going up, right? And so we got a great deal, a great possibility with this property in particular on the table, and the timing of our lease actually coming to an end. And we'll talk through more details about that later. But just through a lot of prayer, a lot of counsel from our board, from other pastors, from people that have given me a lot of wisdom, the Lord has clearly told me that the time is now. Okay, and so I want to give you a couple of key dates here for you guys that are very important to us. The first one is Thursday, November 21st, which is an altar night of worship. Now, we already announced this earlier, but now you know a little bit more about what this is going to be about. Man, we're going to pray and ask that God would work a miracle and that he would give us the land. Amen? Come on now, somebody. And so I want you to come. I want you to pray. And we're going to look to the past and thank God for what he's done, but we're going to look to the future as well and thank God for the hope that we have. And then Sunday, December 8th, we're going to come and we're going to have our altar offering and commitment day. Now, I said, and you'll see on the cards that we'll pass out here at the end of service, that it's a two-year campaign. But like I said, we'll move at the speed of generosity. The faster we raise the funds, the faster we move. And what we're going to do on December 8th is that you see this big rock I got here. It's leaving a little bit of dust behind. Here we go. But my staff, they asked me the other day. It was about a month ago. They said, hey, Pastor, can we go out to the property? We want to go out there. I was like, all right, guys. We had staff meeting. We went out to the property. I said, we just want to go out there and pray. And I said, all right, let's go. So we go out there, we're walking around, we're praying, listening to worship music, and then they start picking up rocks off the side of the property. And this one got handed to me. And they said, this one's for you, Pastor. We got to believe that God's going to do it. And so what we're going to do on December 8th is we're going to bring our first and best offering to lay at the altar, right here at the altar. We're going to put our offering and our commitment card for over the next year or 2 years, whatever you decide. We're going to put it in a bucket, but then we're going to have a stone for every family, just like this. Every family, every individual is going to have their own. And then we are literally going to come to this altar, and we are going to build an altar together over all four services on December 8th. As we lay our offering down, as we put our stone down, listen, like I said, everybody, I believe God's going to call everybody to lay something down at the altar. Because, man, this can't just be done by me. It's not just going to take the staff. It's not just going to take the leaders of this church. It's going to take every single person saying, you know what? I'm going to lay something down on the altar. I'm going to put a sacrifice down. I'm going to be a part of what God wants to do here at the altar. I'm going to build his church. Jesus said, I would build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But how many of you know that it takes us? How many of you know that it takes some people that are willing to build? Some people that are willing to get and be a part of it, to get down into the dirt, to take a stone and to place it at the altar. It's going to take some people. It's a God-sized vision. And so we have an altar flyer, and we have a commitment card that we're going to hand every family, one per family if we can. We want to make sure we have enough for everybody. We have an altar card and a flyer. And I want you to take that home, and we're asking you to do three things over the course of the next few weeks until December 8th. And that is to pray, listen, and obey. Pray that God would reveal to you what it is. How can I be a part? What do I need to do to help advance the mission of the gospel in Hayes County? And then you got to listen. A lot of times we talk at God, but we don't really listen to God. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. We talk a whole lot to him, but we don't really listen back. Here's the reason why we don't sometimes is because we're afraid about what he's going to say. Like when he tells you to start a church in the middle of COVID, right? Like, oh, Lord, I heard you, but I don't know if I want to, you know? So we got to listen. But then the last step is honestly the most important, is that you got to obey and do what God's called you to do. And that's for every area of your life, not just for this, not just for altar, not just for radical church, but it's for every area of your life. Pray, listen, and obey. And so there was a friend of mine, Pastor Justin, that came to first service. He sat right here. I didn't know he was going to be here. But right as we were singing this last song that we're about to sing, I'm going to do it before. He stood right over here. We were singing this last song, and he came over to me. He said, hey, man, I got a word for you. And I believe it's a prophetic word. And that's why I came this morning, because I wanted to share this with you. I had him come up on stage. It's just a few minutes ago. I had him come up on stage and share the word that he had given me just right over here a minute ago. And he's actually at his church right now, Word of Life in Buda, and he's preaching right now. They're in the same series as us. Their series is called Altar. Ours is called Altars, or the Altars, and ours is Altar. And so we've just connected over the last week, and man, he showed up and gave a powerful, powerful word. And if we got the video, they edited it together just in the last 30 minutes. I want to share with you what he said just a few minutes ago.
All right, how you doing? I'm Pastor Justin Payne at Word of Life Christian Faith Center. We know a thing or two about altars. Quick backstory, our ministry, and when I was a musician, we actually planted and built the building that is now Vertical Church. And we went through a lot of transitions, but God's raised us up, and now I'm a generation, now I'm a pastor now. And 3 years ago, I drove by that property, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said, there is going to be a church at this property. I'm like, God. And I said, I'm just kind of throwing it out there. We're pastors. We get all like, is it us? Is it me, Lord? Is it like... I just became a pastor. But he says, it may not be you, but I guarantee that there is this property is designated for a church. And I prayed at that site, and I was like, God, do your will. I told my wife, Angelica, this is going to be a church right here. So then when you posted that picture of the rocks, I'm like, that looks familiar. And then I called Pastor Trev. I said, Word of Life is doing a series called Altars 2. That means right now, literally, I'm about to go preach another altar sermon. And so I called him. I said, this is a confirmation that I want you to receive from the Lord, that there is a kingdom mandate on altars and that there's a kingdom understanding. It's not just specific, but when God gives a word for a region, he wants the entire city, the entire region, the entire county to represent and respond to his word. So I want to confirm to Pastor Trev, to Radical Church family, this is not just a gimmick. This is not just a fad, but this is rad. This is something that is going to happen in radical time, radical faith. And here's my last bit. I want to hold this back, is the fact that I believe radically that $1 million can happen today. Can I talk to some radical faith? You never know what God can do. Don't put limits. Once again, do me a favor. I'm a prophetic guy. Just lift your hands and receive it. Pastor Trev, do not put limits on what God can do. And even as you more, ask double. God says add a zero. Add a zero on your expectations. Add a zero on your study. Add a zero on your prayer. Whatever it is, add a zero. Move the comma, because I am more than your numbers. I am bigger than. I can do all exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or think. So whatever you ask, ask again. Whatever you think bigger. Whatever you do, receive that. And this is for everybody that's receiving it. I declare, here we're going to pray. Stand up. Here we go. I declare that this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're walking out in freedom, knowing that our provision and our needs are met. We already know that this next season is about to be our best season, that your ladder shall be greater than before, and that this is about to be the start of us taking back territory in this season, in this time, in this area. If you believe it, I pronounce peace and love over your family as you go in. Give God a shout of praise.
Come on, let's give him a shout of praise. Let's praise God for the provision that we believe is coming our way. Come on, let's give him some praise for what he's done and praise for what he's doing in the future. Come on, if you love Jesus, would you sing this out? Here we go.
As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise.
Hey, come on. If you believe God can do it, say amen. Come on now. Hey, thank you for coming. Make sure to grab an altar flyer and commitment card on your way out. One per family. We love you. We thank you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.